I'd ask you to turn again to that passage of Scripture we read a little earlier, please, to Book of Romans, chapter number 9. And with God's Word open before us, let us just unite our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our gathering tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for the report and the visit to Eilefnan, and we pray that Thou would bless the team, bless our brother Paul and all those who went, Lord. May be a great blessing and encouragement to them in their own walk with God. And we pray, Lord, that even through this labour there'll be many more who will come to know the Lord as their own and personal Saviour. And bless that land, Lord, that is blessed in a mighty way in years and days gone by. And we pray that Thou would visit that island again in revival power and in revival grace. Bless us now as we turn to Thy Word. Do cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost. Give help, give enablement, give wisdom, guidance, direction, Lord, from Thyself and all that will be said. Take Thy Word, Lord, as an arrow to the target tonight. Lord, use it, O God, we pray in this meeting, to make precious souls wise unto salvation. To this end, undertake, we pray, pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and hearer alike. Then draw very near and give help and enablement, we ask, for Jesus' sake and for Thy glory, O God. We pray these things. Amen. Now my text for this evening that we want to look at is verse 22 of Romans chapter 9. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction." Now, this text is set against the background of Paul asserting the great truth of God's sovereignty in salvation. In His sovereignty, Paul tells us here how God had rejected part of the Jewish nation, while at the same time He had chosen some of the Gentile nations unto salvation. And in dealing with this solemn subject, Paul says here in verse 22, "What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath and fitted to destruction?" You'll notice there that in that verse 22, he describes a particular group of people at the end of the verse as vessels of wrath. Now that word vessel, it's a word that is often used in the Bible to depict certain kinds of people. Whenever Paul was writing to the Christians in Corinth, he said these words, he said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And there you read of the Christian likened unto a vessel filled with the power of the Holy Ghost for Christian service. Again, over in Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians, again he uses that word vessel. He says there to the Christian that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. There you see how the believer is a vessel that is to be clean and pure from the immoral ways and the ungodly ways of this evil world. Again, if you think back to that time whenever God Himself spoke of Paul, His servant, He said this in Acts chapter 9. He said, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." And there you see how the Christian is to be a vessel spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus mighty to save all across the world, wherever God opens doors and wherever God gives opportunities. And in the words of our text again tonight, you see this word vessel is used. And here Paul describes a certain kind of people. And at the end of our text, he describes them, he says, they are vessels of wrath, he says, fitted to destruction. Now tonight for a little while, it is these vessels of wrath that I want us to think about. Here is a title which I believe is a solemn warning to every sinner to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. As you think upon these vessels of wrath, there are four things I want you simply to note tonight. First of all, I want you to see the people who are these vessels of wrath? In our text, Paul says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Who is Paul speaking of? If you read the chapter and you study the context, you'll see there that he's speaking specifically here about those Jews who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their only Savior from their sin. Now we are reminded of that sad rejection back in the Gospel of John. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and the verse 11, John speaks of Christ coming. And he says this, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Again, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, he spoke to Nicodemus of such a people when he spoke of those, and he says, he that believeth not the Son, speaking again of those who reject the gospel, who reject Christ as their Savior. Yes, these vessels of wrath that are mentioned in our text tonight are all who reject the gospel. They are all who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes, such unbelievers may be down in the depths of sin and shame in society. That may be so. But on the other hand, they might be living clean lives, upright lives, moral, religious lives, so to speak, before man. But whoever they are vessels of wrath. Yes, all are vessels of wrath who will not come to Christ, who will not trust Christ or embrace Christ as their own and personal Savior. Yes, the hymn writer himself speaks of this sad reality. When he speaks of such and says, out of Christ without a Savior, oh, can it be? Like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. Friend, in our meeting tonight, let me ask you the question. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're still not saved, have you ever thought how God sees you? Well, I tell you tonight how God sees you. He sees you in the words of our text. He likens you unto, as he says in our text tonight, a vessel of wrath. This is God's description of you who are unsaved, young person, older person in this gospel meeting. Yes, friends and family and neighbors and maybe those that you work with, they call you by your name or by something else that concerns you. Well, irrespective of what others say about you or what others call you, the most important thing is what God says about you. That's the all-important thing. And if you are still without Christ as your Savior, God says in His Word that you are a vessel of wrath. Well, if you're unsaved tonight, that you would see this as God sees you. And as He speaks to your heart tonight through His Word, He likens you unto a vessel of wrath. Yes, you see the people who are these vessels of wrath. But secondly, tonight I want you to think further about the character of those who are vessels of wrath. Well, the Bible tells us many things about these unbelieving vessels of wrath. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, you read of those there who would not come to Christ. They rejected Christ. And we're told in that chapter that such had no love for God in their heart. Jesus said, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Also the Bible shows us that these vessels of wrath, they delight in their sin. The psalmist says they delight in lies. Again, the Bible tells us that such are indifferent to the gospel call to repent of their sin and to come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're like the people of Jerusalem in the day of the Savior. Turning your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. And look with me at the Savior's sad lament of the people of Jerusalem in his day in verse 37 of Matthew chapter 23. He says there, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And there the Lord is speaking of the many times He had called them as a people to repent of their sin, to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the many times they had been called in the gospel to repent and seek the Lord. And He says, and ye would not. That's the mark of this vessel of wrath, a turning away from the gospel call to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible speaks further of those who are vessels of wrath, and it tells us that such have devised their own false way of salvation, just like Cain of old in the Old Testament. You read of Cain, and it says this, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He would not depend upon the blood of Christ alone for his salvation. He had his own way, he had man's way. That's how it is with the vessel of wrath. Also, the Bible tells us that such are taken up with the world, with a love in their heart for the world. Remember the rich farmer, the man whom God called a fool. He spoke of himself, and indeed he spoke to himself, and he said this, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for thee for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. All that man was concerned about was his wealth, his fortune, his earthly gain. No concern for his soul, no concern for eternity. The hymn writer speaks of such and says, room for pleasure, room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. Again, the Bible also tells us of these vessels of wrath that such have a complete disregard for God's authority. Living in open sin and rebellion to God, doing the very work of the devil himself. How do I know that? Again, if you read through John's Gospel, chapter 8, there Jesus speaks in particular to those who had rejected him as their Savior, had rejected the Gospel, and he said this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Doing the devil's bidding. Doing the devil's work. Living without a care or thought of God. Living only for self and sin. And the ungodly ways of this world. Tell me, is this character of these vessels of wrath a picture of one in our meeting tonight? Underneath your religious veneer, in your own heart, there's no love for God. My, you delight in your sin. My, you've never yielded to the gospel. You've never repented of your sin. You've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work for the salvation of your soul. Yes, you're taken up with the here and now, just taken up with the world. Taken up with the things of time and sense. No care for your soul. No thought of eternity. Of what lies beyond the grave for you. Is it the case that in your heart there's a complete disregard for God. And the ways of the Lord behind a religious veneer. And an outward show of religiosity. Yes, it's a sad description. But my, it's a true description of you who are still a vessel of wrath. And the sight of God Almighty. The character of these vessels. The people who are these vessels. Notice from our text tonight how Paul tells us about the end of these vessels of wrath. Notice what he says there in verse 22. He says, what of God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering. Notice these words. The vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Notice that word fitted. It literally means appointed by God. In other words, we're told there that such the end of these vessels of wrath is this, that they're appointed by God to destruction. Fitted, says the apostle, to destruction. Can I say tonight that this destruction is not annihilation, as some would try to tell us? Rather, it is the inflicting of God's wrath upon them for their sin and for their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and their turning away from the gospel. The psalmist, way back in the beginning of the book of the Psalms, he speaks of this end in Psalm 2 and verse 12. There he warns of God's wrath. He says, there kiss the Son lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. What is the psalmist telling us there? He's warning you of God's wrath to come. Again, remember the words of Christ at the end of John chapter 3. He says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Again, Christ is warning you of wrath to come. Again, why we can say this destruction, what is it? It's the casting of the Christ-rejecting sinner into a lost eternity in hell itself. This is this destruction that Paul warns us of at the end of this text. Does not the psalmist say that the wicked shall be turned into hell? And all nations, all people who forget God, who turn their back upon God and upon God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Yes, when the Christ-rejecting sinner dies, what happens to his soul? His soul is immediately cast into hell, into the lake of fire. Remember the rich man who died? The Lord says the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And then when Christ returns, the body of the unsaved living and those resurrected from the dead will also be cast into hell fire. Remember what John says at the end of the book of the Revelation. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Unsaved friend at our meeting tonight, you who are guilty of rejecting Christ as your Savior, as a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction, let me tell you tonight that everlasting punishment in hell is the awful end that awaits you. Friends, see yourself in this text tonight who are unsaved. When Paul warns and speaks of the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 18, Christ says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." In other words, God says you're condemned already to a lost eternity in hell itself. You're like a condemned prisoner sitting on death row awaiting your execution. And that execution will take place whenever you come to die or whenever the Lord comes back again and you're found out of Christ and you're sinned without Christ as your Savior. Well, speaking of the awfulness of this destruction, the hymn writer says, "Horrors past imagination will surprise your trembling heart when you hear your condemnation, hence accursed wretch depart. Thou with Satan and his angels hast thy part." What a solemn sentence. Let me tell you that hell will be the end of all your hopes. You see, there is no escape in hell. The Bible says the candle of the wicked shall be put. In other words, all the hopes and the aspirations of the Christ rejecter will be put out in hell. There is no escape from hell. Hell will be the end of all your enjoyments. Why? Because hell's a place of everlasting torments, the torments that never end. The Bible speaks of those in hell and it says this, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." Here in this life you may have some kind of pleasure, but all pleasure and enjoyment will be over forever and ever in hell. It'll be a place of everlasting torments. My in hell friend, you'll be shut up forever with the devil and with all his angels. Think of that awful sentence that Christ warns about on the day of judgment. For all who are unsaved, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 25 and verse 41, he says this, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Listen again to our text. Paul speaks of these vessels of wrath and he says they are fitted, appointed to destruction. If you're not saved, this is God's word for you tonight in this meeting as you're sitting in this gospel service. You're a vessel of wrath, young person, older person, not saved. God says, appointed to destruction on your way to a lost eternity. Yes, the end of these vessels, their character, the people who are these vessels. But notice one final thought tonight. Notice the changing of those who are vessels of wrath. Yes, in our text in verse 22, we read there of vessels of wrath. But if you read down to the very next verse, verse 23, you see there how you read also of vessels of God's mercy. Look at verse 23, it says, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory." Notice it, "on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Praise God, in this life, in this scene of time, there is opportunity for the vessels of God's wrath to be changed into the vessels of God's saving mercy. And what a mercy that is. And that change takes place whenever a sinner heeds the gospel. Whenever he repents of his sin and puts his faith and trust in Christ and in his sacrifice alone upon the middle tree of Calvary for his salvation. What a change takes place when that happens. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, in the verse 19, God there speaks of this change. He says this, listen to God's word. He says, but if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. And those words point us to this change when a man is delivered from being a vessel of wrath unto a vessel of God's saving mercy. Friend, if you acknowledge your sin before the Lord, if you confess your sin to Christ, if you turn from every false way of salvation, of self and of man, and you turn to Christ and trust in Christ, rest upon His sacrifice alone for your salvation, praise God, you shall be saved. As it says in verse 23 of this chapter, praise God, you shall be a vessel of mercy. A vessel who knows, who experiences God's saving mercy, God's saving grace. The Bible says, he that believeth shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at the very last verse of this ninth chapter of Romans. Notice what Paul says in verse 33. He says, and whosoever believeth on him that's on Christ, he says, shall not be ashamed or not be confounded. In other words, if you come by faith to Christ as a sinner, confessing your sins to Him, trusting only in His blood for the salvation of your soul, He says you'll not be ashamed. You'll not be confounded. In other words, you'll not suffer loss. Rather, as a vessel of God's saving mercy, you'll receive God's pardon, God's forgiveness for all of your sins. You'll receive God's peace. You'll become a child of God, a friend of God. You'll receive Christ's imputed righteousness, giving you that eternal acceptance with a holy God, the holy God of heaven. You will know God's presence in your life. You will know God's grace in your soul. As the Bible tells us, you'll be saved from wrath to come, from everlasting hell, from being a vessel unto wrath. And you'll be made sure of heaven, sure of everlasting glory. What a prize that God offers you tonight in Christ. Turn with me back to John's Gospel, chapter 5. Maybe God's been speaking to your heart recently about being saved, and there's a battle going on between you and the devil, between faith and unbelief. Well, I urge you tonight, unsaved friend, to venture your soul, your all, your eternity upon one great promise in this chapter. John chapter 5 and the verse number 24. These are not my words. These are the words of Christ, the Son of God. Notice what He says, verily, verily. When you see those two words, Jesus is telling us what He's about to say is absolutely sure. It cannot be disputed. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, notice it, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a promise. That's what God offers you tonight in Christ. To be saved from the wrath to come, to be saved from the condemnation and the judgment of God upon you for your sin. To be fitted unto life eternal, to know Christ as your Savior. The wonderful forgiveness and joy of all your sins. The hymn writer says, 'tis the promise of God, full salvation to give unto him who on Jesus, his Son, will believe. Unsaved friend, tonight and seeing your awful state as a vessel of wrath, fitted for destruction, God says, this night may you flee to Christ and by faith call upon Him to save you. In saving you, you'll become a vessel of God's saving mercy. Be able to say with the hymn writer, "Hallelujah, 'tis done, I believe in the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one." Oh, as we close our meeting tonight, let me ask, what are you tonight in the sight of God? Are you a vessel of wrath, fitted unto destruction? Or are you a vessel of God's saving mercy, fitted unto life eternal, unto life in heaven itself? Friend, not saved, come this night to Christ and be saved by God's grace for time and all of God's great eternity. We're just going to bring our meeting tonight to a close by singing together the hymn number 286. 286, "Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory won? There's wonderful power in the blood." Not saved tonight in this meeting, there's power in the blood of Christ for you to save your soul, make you a child of God, a vessel of God's saving mercy, and fit you for heaven. 286 will stand as we sing.
Speak on through thy word. Lord, we pray that
for those that are in our meeting, unsaved, that Thou wilt imprint these words loudly and largely in their hearts and minds, that as they sit in this meeting tonight unsaved, that they are vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction. Lord, and impressing upon this truth upon their hearts, O God, may they realize that there is hope only for them in Christ, and that they can become a vessel of God's saving mercy fitted for heaven, through them coming as a penitent sinner to Christ, and trusting Him as their own and personal Savior. Lord, just speak on to this end, we pray, and see if this night we ask. Part us with Thy fear and favour. Take us to our different homes and safety. Journey with us, Lord. Keep us all safe as we travel on the roads and make our journey home. And bless us even in the season of prayer. And Lord, grant that in this week that lies before us, that Thy grace, Thy mercy, and Thy peace, O God, shall be our abundant portion. For we do pray and we do ask it all in the Saviour's great name. Amen.